natural way, everybody. This is a show that exposes the chemical pushers, the environmental thugs, and the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of Common Sense Gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody, on this Thanksgiving show. Well, the show that's before the Thanksgiving holidays. Appreciate you taking time to call us. We do have an open line for you if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. We've been talking about several interesting things the first hour, and we'll do a little bit more in Howard's garden now. We had a question about the monarch butterflies and the milkweed that might be a problem for them. I did a little quick research over the break there about the one that has been identified as the problem, and it doesn't surprise me what I ran into. The one that is in the crosshairs of being a problem is not a native. It's an introduced one, and it has become very popular. In fact, it's sold around here. I've got some, probably not a lot, but a few in my garden at home. And the first website I ran into was a website saying that it's really not a problem, that it dies down at a time when there's other things around that would be more attractive to the butterflies. And, of course, they're defending this particular milkweed. So we will continue to look into it and give you a little bit more information. But I guess if you're concerned about the butterflies and you have the new exotic one that's the one primarily sold in the nurseries, not a native one, that you go ahead and cut it down now and not be a problem. But I'll continue to look into it, and we'll talk more about it as we go. One of the things that I'm doing on the website is I'm adding new trees. It works in real well with some of these mystery photographs that we do. We've done a book on trees. It's called the Texas Trees, Howard Garrett's Texas Trees, and we talk about it both from the standpoint of raising money for TORC, Texas Organic Research Center, and for just general use, that most of the information in all my books, including the tree book, is good for people coast to coast and border to border, and that the information that we give out about organic procedures and techniques and everything in general, as far as is good coast to coast and border to border, for the most part, if you change two things, one of those things is timing. When you do things is different in California than it is in New York. But on the other hand, how you prepare a bed, how you improve the life in the soil, how you plant a plant properly, especially planting trees, how you deal with insect pests and diseases, how you prune trees, how you do, in other words, all the major things is the same from coast to coast and border to border. So my current tree book is very effective in a lot of ways, just like my other 13 books are. I'm not sure you can find all 15 of my books, but most of them are available now. If you look on the website on dirtdoctor.com, the situation there for raising money for TORC is there, and, of course, they're available through all kinds of other ways if you want to go that way as well. Some bookstores still have my books, and of course Amazon and places like that do as well. The subject directly related to that where you are in the country came up yesterday on Bob Webster's show. He was asking me, it had come in from one of his listeners, about using vinegar and if there's any problem in using too much vinegar and fouling up the pH of the soil. And we talked about the fact that it's a lot like the human body. Apple cider vinegar is one of the most beneficial things you can take. I take some every day. I rinse with it after I've taken a shower, and I think it's been very helpful. I used to have black, dark spots on my skin quite a bit, and I just didn't even notice until the other day. I was looking and they're basically all gone. Part of that has to do with diet and what's going on internally, obviously, but the surface stuff. I use a real high quality aloe vera after I shower as well, and I think that helps too. But the vinegar, how it works in the human body is fascinating. You know, it's a real low pH product, four, very, very acid. But when taken internally in the human body, or if you give it to your pets, which is good too, or livestock or whatever, it has an alkalizing effect, net effect on the body, which is what you want. It's the healthy thing to have. Well, it's kind of like the same way in the soil. And that's why Bob and his listeners were bringing up the question, if you use garret juice real often, or if you just use apple cider vinegar in your fish and seaweed sprays or whatever, you know, is there a point where you're using too much? And the answer is it'd be very difficult to do that. And it would be possible, yeah. I've consulted with some landscape projects in the past where they needed to reduce the pH on their project to meet the specifications that were goofy specifications. But I said, yeah, if you need to lower the pH down to 7 or 7.2 or whatever it is, and it's, you know, 7.5 or 7.6, which would be fine. You don't need to worry about it. But they said, well, we got to meet the specs. We got to get it down. Fine. Buy 55-gallon barrels of vinegar, mix it with water, pour it out, test the pH until you get it down to the level you want. Concentrated vinegar will rip the pH down for you while you're watching. I mean, it'll happen in a hurry. Will it last a long time? No. It won't last a long time because you get the same kind of overall net effect long term that you get in the body, is that it ends up being kind of a buffering thing, provides trace minerals, and is a good thing to do. So I think it'd be virtually impossible to use garret juice in an acid soil condition so much that you would create a problem. I think just the opposite is the case. I'm more concerned about the economics of it. I don't think you need to mix your own version of garret juice or buy the commercial product, either one, and use it too often. Just waste money. I've known people that have used it every 2 weeks on their vegetable gardens and herb gardens and things like that to try to push production along and swear by it. That's too often for me. I don't spray or drench with it any more than once a month at the most, and you're certainly not going to get any negative situation coming up from that kind of a schedule. You can do it more often, probably not cause any problems other than to your pocketbook. All right, we'll get back to Enhard's Garden in a minute. Let's talk to Larry right now in Hearst. Hey, Larry.
Hi, good morning, Aaron.
How are you?
Good, good. My question is about a Chinese pistachio. We just recently had a tree planted, and I'm guessing it was a 45-gallon, maybe about 4 years old, they said. I don't know. But we want to be sure we're taking care of it right, watering it right, and just want some tips on taking care of the tree. Be sure it grows well.
Okay. How big a tree do you have, Larry?
It's about 12, maybe 12, 14 feet tall.
Bald and burlapped when it was planted?
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right. Well, it's a beautiful tree. I used to recommend it heavily, as much as I recommended any tree out there. I've backed off of that just a little bit because it's not a native. It's from Asia, and the females produce fruit that will spread. The birds spread them all over the place, and it has become identified as an invasive plant. I do have some growing both at my house and at the office that have volunteered and started to grow. I've identified both of them as males, and so I'm leaving them there. So hopefully yours is a male. If it's a female, just understand that it will have fruit, and the fruit pulls the health of the Chinese pistachio for some reason down. You'll have a little bit more yellowing late in the season if it's female, and you'll have these big clusters of fruit that start off red and then they turn blue. It's when they're blue that they're viable. So if you want to prevent them from spreading, you just you know, cut the fruit off before it turns blue, and then there's no problem. The red berries are quite attractive, but it does hurt the beauty of the foliage a little bit. You'll have some thinning and a little bit of yellowing. The biggest thing, can you hold with me? Because there's a couple other points I want to tell you about. Can you hold through this break? Do that, and we'll talk more about Chinese pistachio and whatever you want to talk about. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. Espoma, extremely high quality organic products, including Biotone Starter Plus, which is a special blend of natural organic plant food, beneficial microbes, and mycorrhizal fungi. The result, plants grow faster, roots grow deeper, and flowers and vegetables flourish. Espoma products are safe for people, pets, and the planet. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Biotone Starter Plus from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Lava sand is a critical part of the Dirt Doctor's natural organic recommendations for bed prep and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. American Rio is the only high-quality lava product we have seen with significant paramagnetism. Their Maverick Lava Soil Amendment will dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. It can be delivered directly to you by one-ton tote. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752. Or go to AmericanRio.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer? Or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides? The compaction of soil? And grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice Monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy,
controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we were visiting with Larry. Hopefully he's still with us. You there, Larry?
I'm here, yes.
Let's talk about the pistachio just a little bit more. Is there any indication on the tree right now that it's female? Do you see any berries on it? When it's that young, it probably won't have any.
No, I was going to say, you reminded me, we were trying to be very specific that we didn't want a female tree because
okay.
We've had a past experience with trees dropping nuts and all that. We didn't want none of that. So they by all indications, we bought a male tree. So.
Okay. Keep your fingers crossed. Sometimes it doesn't show up until a little bit later on. But the other thing about Chinese pistachio tree, and it's similar to what happens with another tree that I'll talk about when you and I get finished here, too. But Chinese pistachio trees are notoriously too deep in the ground in their containers, whether they're bald and burlapped or in a hard container. So when you had it planted, it sounds like you've been listening to me for a while. Did you have them expose the flare really dramatically?
Well, yeah, they went down in and exposed. I don't know what dramatically would be. I did ask them. I said, you are going to loosen all that up around there. And they went to work on it, loosening it up. I didn't really see how much they loosened it up, but they
okay.
were doing that. So.
Well, the thing you want to be sure of is that right now, if you walk out there and look at it right now, you can see the flare dramatically exposed. And if it's not, you need to go to work on the tree. I don't know why them and lace bark elms are the other real bad one. I'm going to talk about it a little bit more when we get through here. But for whatever reason, pistachio trees tend to be the worst about that. It happens with all trees, but the pistachios seem to be worse. Take a look at my website, dirtdoctor.com, and look at the entries in the library about root flare exposure and the newsletters and everything, and look at that flare that's going out. Even on a young tree, you need to be able to see the flare going out. And if it's not there, you need to just very, very carefully start loosening the soil and removing soil away from the base of the tree, even if it leaves a depression with the tree growing out of a depression. That's a lot better for the tree than it being too deep in the ground.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was aware of some of that it needed to be, flared a little bit. But, yeah, okay, well, thank you. I appreciate that. How about watering? How
Oh, and the watering, it's a pretty tough plant. You don't need to do a lot of watering right now on anything. Once we start getting into cool weather, you know, the only watering you need on any of your plants is every month or so if it's just been really dry and windy and that sort of thing, because the moisture will last a lot longer in the soil. Pistachios, if anything, are a little bit sensitive to too much wet feet than, you know, than getting a little bit on the dry side. So yeah. if it was watered in really well when it was planted, how long ago was the tree planted?
It's been about 2 weeks now.
2 weeks?
Close to 2 weeks.
They
in
probably
fact,
soaked it really
it a little bit.
They probably soaked it really well when they planted it, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
You probably don't need to water it again and really deep soaking for another few weeks.
Okay.
Just keep an eye on it. And if you see any wilting from, you know, just being really super windy and dry and everything, add some. But starting this time of year, you don't need to water very often. Next spring, assuming we don't have any rain, which we probably will, you'll need to, you know, get on a schedule of watering a little bit more often as it starts to put on its foliage and all. It will be using more water. Just be really careful that it's the water, you're watering real heavily and then letting it dry out to a degree in between waterings. That's basically the watering schedule we recommend for everything. What that time period is, you really can't say because it depends on the soil, what kind of soil you have, how well it's draining, percolating, and all that. You have to make that call on your own.
Okay. All right.
All right, good luck. I hope it's male.
Yeah, he did.
If it's not, it's not the end of the world. Good luck. Keep me posted.
All right. Bye now.
All right. We have open lines if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3444. Real heavily, like I did the Chinese pistachio. Dr. Carl Whitcomb up in Stillwater, Oklahoma, who is one of my mentors, even though he's not organic, his research really taught me some things and proved some things that I was already doing that they were right. And he really has done a lot of great research, and he's also done a lot of good work in coming up with new varieties of crepe myrtles, especially. He's got some beautiful red ones that he's been working on for a long time that are great. But he not only liked lacebark elm so much, he named his publishing company Lacebark Publishing for his books that he did. And so he got me into it, and I designed them in all over the place. When I was doing landscape architecture as my primary business, I was designing lacebark elm and Chinese pistachio trees into every project, along with a lot of natives and things like that. Well, along about the time that we started hearing about a few issues with Chinese pistachio trees, we started noticing something about lacebark elm. And other people talk about this too, but they talk about it from a little bit different standpoint than I do. We all started noticing that the lacebark elm started leaning. It's the true Chinese elm, by the way. You know, a lot of people call Chinese elm incorrectly. It should be Siberian elm. But let me talk about the Chinese elm problems when I get back. Howard Garrett, back after this.
Recovery Nutrition is not only about food, but also about proper hydration. High-quality water is mineral-dense and not processed for the greatest amount of nutrient absorption and a more speedy recovery. Crazy Water naturally contains over 11 minerals and electrolytes. Nothing is added. Crazy Water is so good, it's crazy. Get some today at Whole Foods, Central Market, HEB, Kroger, Brookshire's, Albertsons, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with GaraJuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, GaraJuice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed-out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And we've got open lines, so jump on here at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. The website's DirtDoctor.com. On the website, that's where you can find all sorts of things. The information about the class, our online class, is there. You can fill out the little form on the homepage to get the free newsletter that I want to talk about a little bit more in just a second. Information about the books. There's a new red button at the top of the page on DirtDoctor.com where you can go and read the information about Torque and donating to Torque. By either donating money or buying one or more of our books. And if the value is a certain level, you get a free membership in the Organic Club of America. I think it's $50. And if it's over $75, whether it's donation or buying my books, you get seed from a garden, from our garden. And we got a bunch of different ones available now, and some other benefits. One of the new things that I've done is a new basic organic program that's a compact document that really explains how the guts of it works. It's good for review, but it's also good to give to other people that aren't into it yet and all that. But anyway, you can read the details right there on DirtDoctor.com. Click the red button that's right up there at the top of the page. Okay, finishing on the lace bark elm. The lace bark is a beautiful tree. It, like I said, it is the true Chinese elm. The one that everybody calls Chinese elm is actually Siberian elm. It's the one that it's in this country that is attacked by the elm leaf beetle and just gets the foliage just gets riddled by it. Elm leaf beetle, lace bark elm actually doesn't get nearly as damaged by insects, doesn't have those cosmetic problems at all, is really pretty, has beautiful foliage, but it's got a couple of really bad little side issues, or main issues, I guess I would say. The first one is that they turn up leaning all over the place. They get blown real badly. Well, the reason for that is, just like Chinese pistachio trees, lace bark elms are notoriously too deep in the soil, in the containers, in the ball and burlap situation. And they are sold to the contractors, are planted, settle a little bit more, they get even deeper, the flares are grossly buried, and the roots, therefore, are not healthy as they come out, and they're not strong enough, and the top continues to grow, but the roots don't, and they don't get rooted firmly into the soil. Here comes the wind, and they blow sideways. That ain't the biggest problem. The biggest problem with the lace bark elm, and I learned this the real hard way. I designed a school, Collin County Community College Landscape, years ago. And it was fun. We did a little mini arboretum up in Plano, and we put different kinds of trees in different areas in the great big huge parking lot. It's a big, big project, maybe close to 100 acres. I can't remember how many acres, maybe not quite that big. But anyway, it's a big site. And we designed kind of a mini arboretum there. And we put in native plants in some areas. We put in introduced plants in other areas. We put nothing but oaks in some parking lots, nothing but elms in some parking lots. See what I mean? Just I kept coming up with kind of wild ideas. And we planted a lot of big lace barks because that was the period of time where Dr. Whitcomb had really convinced me that this was a great tree long term. Up jumped the devil. That site used to be cotton. Years ago, cotton root rot started taking the lace bark elms out. And I had been warned about it, I'll have to admit, by I think a fellow at A&M gave me a little bit of warning when I started asking them whether they recommended it or not. And we had some big ones that just flash died. I mean, boy, it's the cotton root rot. When it hits a plant, it turns the complete canopy brown and it goes down in a hurry. And we lost a bunch of them. I was out there just a couple of weeks ago looking around. I go by from time to time. We're looking at maybe having a show nearby out there. And I was kind of surprised that there were a few of the big lace bark elms still there. So some of them developed. They had big flares exposed. It caught my eye. And back in those days, I wasn't even paying attention to that much. But the ones that lived had good big flares and apparently had the strength to develop mycorrhizal fungus to a degree where they were able to resist the cotton root rot and live, and they're thriving and doing very well. It's probably about, probably no more than 20%, maybe 15% of the lace barks that we designed in and were planted on the site. We see the same kind of thing happen on ranches with oaks, red oaks and live oaks, that are susceptible in general to oak wilt. And we see ranches where this tree and that tree and this swath of trees was not killed, but everything else on the ranch was killed. Well, what's the difference? Well, research, and I'll give A&M credit for it, they came up with this research. It's not recommending the right solutions, but they came up with an answer that explained something to me that was very important. They found that the trees on ranches that survived oak wilt had the sap had a much higher level of microbiotic activity in the sap. Well, that means that they also had a much greater biological activity on the roots of the plants, the mycorrhizal fungus and all that. And a lot of the academics have always argued with me that the trees don't have an immune system and that building this life in the soil doesn't help. Well, it's ridiculous to think that. It absolutely does. And we've seen it proven in the case of oak wilt in Texas and the lace bark elms in certain places, like on that project there. You can go out, those of you in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, can go out to Collin County Community College and see it, see the big ones that have survived cotton root rot. And the same thing, I've talked to some arborists in California about the oak decline issues. They've got a different kind of disease out there. Same thing, the arborists that I've talked to that are really with it, really thinking, have agreed with me. The same thing is going on. When you have air pollution and you have that air pollution affecting the surface of the soil and changing things just a little bit, and then you've got mechanical things awry also, like the flare being buried, you know, you got disease problems in those trees. The ones that are kept in an extremely healthy condition, high flares, mycorrhizal fungus, healthy soil, the trees in most cases have the ability to avoid the disease. So if this goes for any disease, it doesn't matter. It's not specific really at all. 866-444-3478 is the phone number to be with me on the show. Here's Frank called that number in Mineola, Texas. What's going on in East Texas?
Well, it's kind of nippy here this morning, Howard. How are you?
Well, we had the same thing here, about 43 degrees in Dallas when I got up here.
Well, I had a little ice on my window this morning, so it got a little cooler than that.
No, that's good. All right.
I was calling to ask you about moles and gophers. Mineola is real sandy soil, and I've just overrun with them, it seems like, and I've never had them before. I hadn't been here very long, and everybody seems like they have a different remedy for them, but I've got kids and pets, and I don't want to use poisons and gas and things like that. What is your remedy?
Sure. Well, there's a commercial line of products, Frank, that I've gotten the best results reported to me about, and it's called Mole Scram, S-C-R-A-M.
Okay.
All their products are called Scram. I think they have a Mole Scram and a Gopher Scram, both. They have specific ones. You probably will have to order it mail order. But they're not. You won't need that much volume. So if the local feed stores and farm stores and nurseries there in Mineola don't have the product in stock, I'd tell them about it and see if they'd get it in for you and for other people.
Okay.
But if they don't have it, you can order it online. The other thing is that you can make your own solutions if you have the time and you want to do it experimentally, or just that's what you like to do. You can mix hot pepper and castor oil together and inject it into the areas, and it works pretty well to repel them also. The third thing that I recommend is just a fun thing to do, and you've got to warn your kids about it a little bit, but it's not that big a deal. You can plant castor bean plants next spring.
Yeah.
They're beautiful, big tropical-looking leaves. They come in green or a red form. They're really, really pretty. If the kids got the seed and ate a bunch of them, you know, it's dangerous. I mean, they're not dangerous as the ricin that's made from them, but the seeds themselves are a toxicity issue to a degree, not even more than some other plants. But I've gotten good reports from people on that, too, that the castor bean plants used on the property lines and around the garden help to repel the moles and gophers.
Okay, I've seen somebody up the street has castor bean plants around his garden. So I've ordered some seed, but being castor bean, I'm a little nervous about planting them.
I wouldn't worry about it myself. I've never had anybody report to me that kids or pets have been injured at all. I think it's possible.
Okay.
But I think it's possible with other plants that we use all the time as well. One final thing to tell you to look into also, there are devices on the market that you can buy that they're like stakes you put in the ground, and they have the ability to rattle or vibrate every now and then. They work pretty well, and especially if you use more than one of them, you use several of them around. There's a hardware store place that's national that you might have in your area called Harbor Freight.
They have
one in stock that's called solar. It's got a little solar panel on top
of it.
Yeah,
right. I've seen them advertised.
Very inexpensive, and if you buy several of them and put them around the garden, they work pretty well.
Okay. Well, I was just trying to keep them out of my yard because they're just tearing out my yard.
Give it a shot. Let me know which one of those works best for you.
How about marigolds? Do they have any repelling?
Nah, maybe. And they're pretty, so go ahead and try it.
Yeah. Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, talk to you later.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're about to have a break, I believe. Is that 30 seconds left? Is that right? Okay. Linda, hang on, and when you want to jump on here, you can do it. We've got an open line for you at 866-444-3478. I still have a few in-house garden things to catch up on, and we need to talk about that last newsletter on lava sand and some related issues too. 866-444-3478. Website is dirtdoctor.com. Free newsletter. Sign up right there on the homepage, and you can find out about all the other stuff at the same place.
Recovery Nutrition is not only about food, but also about proper hydration. High-quality water is mineral-dense and not processed for the greatest amount of nutrient absorption and a more speedy recovery. Crazy Water naturally contains over 11 minerals and electrolytes. Nothing is added. Crazy Water is so good, it's crazy. Get some today at Whole Foods, Central Market, HEB, Kroger, Brookshire's, Albertsons, and other crazy good stores. Go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a store in your area.
Ladybug Natural manufactures extremely high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and the nutrient-rich Magic Sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
What if you could be younger and stronger for longer? Many experts agree that regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine and even your personal health and longevity. So if you or someone you know is suffering from chronic pain or dealing with other health challenges, then stem cell therapy just may be the solution. It's simple, safe, natural, effective, and affordable. So before you operate, before you medicate, now you can regenerate.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
To see how stem cell therapy can benefit you, call now for a complimentary consultation, a $200 value. Call 800-705-6006. That's 800-705-6006.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Do your probiotics have baggage? They should. You see, if your probiotics do not include prebiotics as well as postbiotics, then you are missing out on a lot of healthy benefits. Most probiotic products do not contain prebiotics, their food, or postbiotics, the organic matter that promotes the long-term colonization of the good versus bad bacteria in your body. But Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics does. Select live probiotic bacteria are blended with fruits, vegetables, seaweed, and herbs, and allowed to grow over 3 years to assure superior digestive and immune support. Dr. Ohira's probiotics then combines this rich culture medium, prebiotics, and the resulting nutrients from this fermentation process, postbiotics, providing you with a superior probiotic supplement. No other probiotic can offer your body this support. So switch to the best premium probiotic on your retailer shelf today. Dr. Ohira's probiotics, available at fine health food stores. Don't accept a substitute.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. I've been doing a little research during the breaks on this milkweed question that came up in the first hour about which ones are bad and which ones are good and how do you, when do you cut them back and all that kind of thing. There is a lot of kind of disagreement about it, but the most common thing I've found so far, and we'll continue to work on this, and I'll do a newsletter on it or put it, do an entry on the website, dirtdoctor.com at least. But there's, it seems to be all around a tropical milkweed, the controversy, a tropical milkweed called Asclepias. They're all Asclepias, but Asclepias carassivica or carassivica, and it is a tropical that can last into the winter. And the most common recommendation, which I've heard here as well, is that if you have that one, and it's the most common one that's available in the nurseries in a lot of cases, you need to cut it back in early December so it's not around in the winter, keeping the butterflies here too long and suffering freeze damage. In other words, keeping them from migrating. Asclepias tuberosa is one of the natives that's recommended instead. There's a lot of other natives as well. But it seems to me the thing that's making me scratch my head, it seems like some of the natives might keep, you know, if we have our crazy winters where December and January we have these 80 degree days and stuff, even the natives might stay around a little bit too long. And the advice may be best for everybody with any kind of a milkweed to not let them go on into the winter, continuing to bloom and keeping the butterflies around. Interesting subject. I'm learning about it. And if there's any experts on butterflies and milkweed more than I am out there, give us a buzz. And there's an open line for you at 866-444-3478. Let me catch up here with Linda in Granbury real quickly, and we'll go from there. Hi, Linda.
Hello, good morning.
What's up?
We planted a Texas ash about a year ago.
Okay.
It's doing great, great flares, looking healthy. Of course, dropped all the leaves right now, this time of year.
It's already gone completely bare?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm thinking that's normal. I don't know.
Have y'all had any frost there in Granberry yet?
Not that I know of.
Okay. That's a little early, but it's a relatively new tree.
About a year ago we planted it.
A year ago, yeah.
8 feet tall, yeah. And the trunk is 4 inches around.
Okay. Yeah, once it gets a little bit bigger, it'll hang on to its leaves. The ones right around here, around where I am in Dallas, the leaves are still on the tree and got some pretty good fall color on the Texas ash. But that's probably normal for that young a tree.
And my question is, we don't like where we planted it, and we would like to move it. I wanted your advice about that.
Well, the Cowboy game isn't on till tonight, so this afternoon would be good.
So it's okay this time of year, and it's okay for the size of it, and it's only been in the ground a year, so that would be all right to move it.
I think, Linda, you'd have just about 100% chance of moving it right now since it's completely defoliated already. Plus, you're still going to have a little bit of time where the temperatures are fairly mild, and we get a really nice burst of root growth, everybody does, in the fall. And so catching this fall weather, and then you'll get a little bit of root growth through the winter. And I don't – there's always a possibility. Don't misunderstand me, but I think the chances are real high that you'll be successful if you move it now.
Okay. Well, sounds
was
good.
Was it ball and burlap or in a container when you first planted it?
In a container.
Okay. Well, it probably has a pretty dense root system would be my guess. Is it stayed pretty firm, not moving around or anything?
Yes, it stays firm and the flare is out. And
okay. Well, dig outside the area where the container was when you planted it, and let's see what kind of new growth there is. It'll give you a good idea about how it's liking its new home there.
Okay.
All right.
Good. I'll do it. Thank you.
Keep me posted. See you later. Let's real quickly, because I keep pushing this off. Let me do this real quick, and then we'll go to Jerry. And you can call it 866-444-3478. Our last newsletter, the one that just went out, was on lava sand. Most of you know that I recommend it highly. I recommend it all the time. I learned it from Phil Callahan. My point in the start of the newsletter was there's nothing that I've ever come up with as a recommendation that I've had more negativity about than lava sand. A lot of people have accused me of all kinds of things, including, like I put in the newsletter, of me being the reason I recommend it is that I own a lava sand mine somewhere. I actually wish I did. That'd be kind of nice, but I don't. But I do recommend it, and I recommend it for everybody, no matter whether you live in New York or Florida or Washington or Arizona or Iowa or Dallas, Texas. It's a fantastic product for holding moisture in the soil just at the right level, at buffering things, and providing paramagnetism, which helps to grow plants. It's just great. And if you haven't gotten into it yet, we're about to have a lot more availability of one that I've been touting for some time now. So take a look at the newsletter. It's right there on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. It's the current newsletter, and we'll be continuing to talk about it more. Jerry, hang on. I'll get you right at the beginning of the next hour, and then other people jump on here at 866-444-3478. The website, of course, is dirtdoctor.com. I'll be back.